take you now to Cairo and the Cafe Tambourine for a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Somebody a long time ago said that camels were ships of the desert. That's exactly what they are. Beasts of burden carrying cargoes of all kinds of stuff to all kinds of places. This particular bunch of camels didn't care much what they were carrying. Neither did I until I got stuck with a full 24 camel train load of gum arabic. Only all of it wasn't gum.
The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with tourists, camel drivers, women, cheats, forgotten men down on their luck, the lonely and the lost. For this is Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Gum Queen.
I was standing at the door to my office in back of the Tambourine when he came in. Dark skin, a white suit, and black sideburns. Right then, he looked like any other paying customer, only he didn't stop at the bar. He plotted the shortest course through the tables, making every step count. When he reached me, he stopped, took off his hat, mopped his balding head with a fresh handkerchief, threw me a frozen smile, and held out his hand.
You are Mr. Jordan?
Yeah, that's right.
My name is Hekar, Jared Hekar.
What can I do for you, Mr. Hekar?
I wish to learn if it is possible to rent your cafe for a party.
Well, it's possible for a price. Come on in the office, Mr. Hekar.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Thank you very much.
There we are. Now, about this party.
Mr. Jordan, a camel caravan arrives tonight from the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan, carrying a large cargo of gum arabic.
All right.
Do not confuse gum arabic with the kind of gum you chew, Mr. Jordan, which is in reality chicle.
Well, we learn something every day.
You see, gum arabic is employed in pharmacology, textiles and such. The gum arabic from the Sudan is about the best in the world, quite valuable.
Well, that's all very interesting. Now, what about running the tambourine?
Oh, yes, 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 I'm coming to that. The men of the caravan have been working in the interior for many months. The journey has been arduous. Sheldon wishes them to have a party with much merriment.
Sheldon? Who's Sheldon?
The owner of the acacia tree plantation in the Sudan. Sheldon is with the caravan, but sent me ahead to make necessary arrangements.
All right, suppose we get to detail.
Very well. We will motor into the desert tonight, meet the caravan, and discuss final details with Sheldon.
Oh, hold it, Hekar. Why out in the desert?
Those are Sheldon's instructions. Everything must be arranged and in readiness when the men finally arrive in Cairo. Well?
I don't see why not. Anything for a change.
Good. At 9 o'clock then, Mr. Jordan, I am certain that you will find the journey most diverting.
I was going to remember those words. Anyhow, at the crack of 9, Gerard Hekar steered a 1948 rented convertible up to the Tambourine door. I piled in and we drove through Cairo across the Ismail Bridge. On the west side of the Nile, we turned south for a while and off toward the desert. I enjoyed every bit of it. With the full moon riding high, the sight of the pyramids was worth seeing again. As we left them behind, Hekar slowed the convertible and kept veering off into the desert. Finally, against the glow of the sky, a camel climbed up over a distant sand dune. Then another and another, till there were 24 of them in a line coming our way.
That is our caravan, Mr. Jordan. We will wait here.
Ah, that's quite a sight, Mr. Hekar.
Indeed it is. Ships of the desert, Mr. Jordan, loaded with the product of a year's labor in the Sudan.
You sure Sheldon's with him?
Observe riding in the lead there. That is Sheldon. Could be no one else.
We waited there for them to approach out of the deep sands. Sheldon, riding the lead, especially held my eye. A small figure, but erect and in full command. We sat there a few minutes watching caravan silently come toward us. And they were in calling distance when all at once it happened. Up over the horizon came a pack of horsemen, guns firing and heading directly into the caravan.
Bedouin tribesmen, Mr. Jordan, raiders!
They were pounding in, throwing the drivers to the sand, scattering the camels, and only Sheldon tried to fight back, swinging a whip and pistol, trying to drive off the attack to keep the caravan in line. It was like trying to stop a desert sandstorm. We were out and struggling through the sand. By the time we got a scene, all the camels had been taken and the raiding tribesmen were vanishing into the desert night. All but one who saw us coming and tried to run me down. I just managed to jump out of the way, and as he rode by, I grabbed him by the foot. He piled down into the sand. I pulled him up with his robe tightly around his throat, and then... with the shot from a car's gun, he suddenly slumped and pitched face down in the sand. Some of the camel drivers came running up, and that's when I met Sheila. Wearing a man's shirt, pants, boots, and a gun strapped to her side, but all woman.
Did he hurt?
Yeah, but he's still breathing.
You didn't have to do that, Akora.
Why should I not shoot him? He was a common thief. Why should we not shoot all of them if we could?
Turn him over. We'll see what can be done. Help me tear up his robe. We can bind the wounds for now.
Yeah, you got the right idea, lady.
By the way, who are you?
Name is Jordan.
This is Rocky Jordan, Mrs. Sheldon. He is from the Cafe Tambourine to discuss the party.
Help the car, will you, Rocky? Carry this man to the car. Get him into Cairo.
But, Mrs. Sheldon, is this necessary?
Certainly. Dead men don't talk, Akar. This man lives. He can tell us plenty. Who led that Bedouin raid? Where is it taking to come out of it? Quickly, Akar.
Very well, Mrs. Sheldon. I will take him to the Cairo hospital at once.
And see that he gets there alive.
Sheldon stayed behind to organize the bewildered camel drivers, and I went with a car. We took the wounded raider into Cairo and finally got him into a hospital bed. Sheldon showed up a little later, but the raider was still unable to talk. She told her car to stay at the bedside and call us if anything happened. And she and I sat down together outside. For the first time, she began to look tired.
Sometimes you wonder if it's worth it.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough deal.
Got a cigarette?
Sure.
Thanks. We had a bad time, Rocky. Sorry if I sound you rough.
Oh, it didn't strike me that way. Forget it.
I'm not so bad when you get to know me. Just been bossing men around too long.
You were doing all right when I saw you.
Oh, about the party, Rocky.
I suppose you'd like to call it off now. I wouldn't blame you.
Oh, no, no. I promise, remember, I don't like to go back on a promise. You'll have to trust me for a couple of days, though, till I get a loan at the bank.
Well, I can understand what that raid did to you. Looks like they took almost everything.
Everything I've worked and slaved for the past year, that's all. Anyhow, the plantation's still there.
Does it belong to you?
No, it was my husband's. When a tropical disease got him, I just took over, that's all, and did all right till tonight.
Yeah. Say, about the party, Mrs. Sheldon.
Yes?
Maybe we can work something out.
I told you there was no money in it.
Well, anyhow, we can talk it over. At lunch tomorrow?
There's a boat tied up Nile docks waiting for my cargo. A minion. You'll find me there.
Well, that made it a date, and I went back to the tambourine. My help had closed up for the night long before I got there, but I had a visitor just the same. Just as I was unlocking the door, he shuffled out of a nearby shadow.
Effendi Jordan.
Who's that?
It is Belak, one of the drivers from the caravan.
What do you want here?
Please, sir. For money, I would exchange most amazing information.
What makes you think I'll buy?
It concerns the Mrs. Sheldon. And most reasonable. Only 10 Egyptian pounds.
Make it 5 and talk fast.
There is trouble ahead for you, Effendi. You are in great danger.
Information, Belak.
The raider who you drank from the horse in the desert, he is not a Bedouin at all.
Who is he?
The man is a Greek named Trakus.
Trakus? How do you know all this?
That is information I do not tell. But I ask you, Jordan Bay, why would Trakus be with the Bedouins?
You're telling it, Bedouin.
Why was notorious international thief bother with a mere cargo of gum arabic, sir? There is something behind this, Effendi. There is more than meets the eye.
All right, so we'll go see Trakus.
No, not I, Jordan Bay. I warn you, keep away from him. Keep away.
He started running, and I didn't try to follow. Belak had told me plenty for his money.
enough to send me backtracking to the hospital with a lot of questions. I don't like walking into trouble, and right now is the time to clear it up. When I got to the hospital floor where they'd taken Farkas, neither Sheldon nor Hakar was there. Plenty of other people were. I shoved my way through the crowd to his room, and then I saw it was too late for any talk. Someone made sure he'd never talk. Farkas was dead. Not from the bullet wounds. Something a lot more recent and a lot more sure. Knife, 6 inches late. All in all, it turned out to be quite a night. The attack by Bedouin tribesmen on an incoming caravan from the Sudan. The wounded Bedouin, who turns out not to be a Bedouin at all, but a Greek named Trakas. Before I can get to him with some questions, somebody else gets there first with a knife. Well, that brought Captain Sam Sabai into the case real quick. It wasn't long before I was sitting in his office at headquarters. He was taking a big folder out of the file.
Yes, Jordan, it is regrettable that Trakas did not prove the way he was to you.
He's got something on him, Sam?
But for you, in a joke, sir. Yes, indeed. As the camel driver said, Trakas, a man with an international record.
Like what, sir?
1945, espionage. 1947, connected with a vast narcotic trade.
Just what are those means, then?
1948, suspicion of assassination. Very big man in crime, George. Why would he become involved in something so small, such as raiding a caravan?
I don't know. The cargo of gum arabic was worth close to 12,000 pounds.
Hardly worthwhile in view of his business.
So you think it's something bigger, huh? Let's have the rest.
The last we have is when he disappeared into Bechuana land, South Africa, at the beginning of this year. But one moment.
You're going to spend the night looking through those files?
We omit no possibilities.
Well, then I take it you won't need me anymore.
Go if you wish. Children.
Yeah?
About the Mrs. Sheldon, the leader of the caravan. Now, will you be seeing her again?
It's possible. It's on your mind.
I'm merely suggesting, Jordan, that you keep yourself free of murder.
You've got no reason to suspect her.
Not at the moment, but consider. She brings the caravan across the sands almost to the very gates of Cairo before it is conveniently attacked.
Is that all that's bothering you?
Hardly. But does it not seem strange?
I'll take my chances.
Very well, but mark my words. We have not seen the last of the gum arabic.
Sam wasn't telling me what I wanted, so I left him. I was sure he hadn't seen me slip a few pages out of the Trakas dossier while his back was turned, put them in my pocket for future use. Just checking on what the hmms meant. It was too late at night to catch a taxi, so I started to hoof it back to the tambourine. Only it happened, I caught a ride.
Hello, Jordan. Get in.
Sorry, I'm all dated up.
You are now. This gun says get in.
You can bill me for the ride.
It's on the expense account. You're working for me, Jordan.
Doing what?
Playing messenger boy. You're taking a proposition to the gum queen.
Gum queen?
Sheldon, Jordan, don't play dumb with me.
What do I tell her?
She can have all her gum arabic back.
You got it?
Tell her she's in luck, Jordan. Sheldon gets the whole cargo for half the value.
Why half? You could dump it on the open market and do better.
I'd rather play it safe and take the loss. Get it?
Yeah. Give it to me in round figures.
Half the price I set. 6,000 pounds.
All right, I'll room in Sheldon. Look you up.
I deal with you alone, Jordan. Have the money on you. I'll be around again.
One more question.
Yeah?
Who killed Trakas?
We're out of bounds, Jordan. Take the deal to Sheldon.
That wasn't fast enough for him. His foot slammed me out of the car and onto the sidewalk. The car shot down the dark street and was gone. I picked myself up, not sure, but that Sam was right. There was a lot more behind this than a gum arabic. I was mixed up in it now and had to play along. When I finally got back to the tambourine, it was almost daylight. I tried for some sleep. Before noon, I was down along the Nile docks to keep my date with Sheldon at her boat. She had traded her rough clothes for something better, and she looked just like I'd hoped she would. We went over to the waterfront to beg, and as soon as she got to talking.
real nice of you. Real nice.
Maybe. Any luck with that loan?
Oh, I'll get it. It'll last me through another year.
That means you're going back to the stand?
Sure. I stuck it out there for 5 years. 1 year more than that.
Takes nerve.
What else can a woman do but hang on to what she's got left? It can't always be bad, Drake.
Mrs. Sheldon, just how bad do you want your gum out of it back?
Look, Rocky, don't kid me. Of course I want it back. Just don't kid me.
Half the value of the merchandise, 6,000 pounds. That's his price.
Who is that?
Some character who took me up last night.
What's his name? Who is he?
He didn't say.
Yeah. And how much do you get out of it?
Nothing.
It takes a lot more than that to convince me, Jordan. A lot more.
Mr. Sheldon, I've been looking all over Boyle.
Oh, Hakara, sit down. He's got some talking to do.
The bank wishes to speak with you about the loan.
I'll call him later. Mr. Jordan has some news.
So? Jordan?
Yeah. A guy picked me up last night with a proposition. He'll return the gum Arabic for half the value.
Most fortunate, if true.
Well, at least I'll get something out of it that way. A whole year's work isn't gone for nothing.
Most interesting that he would go to you, Jordan.
I'm not trying to explain that.
And how do we know we can trust you at all?
You don't. Suppose we forget the whole thing.
Do not be hasty, Jordan.
Look, Hakkar, you're the one who landed me in this mess from the beginning. I didn't ask for it.
Okay, Rocky.
How do I know the whole thing isn't phony? Why should I trust any of you?
Now, look, Rocky, why don't you just sit down?
All right. Just make up your mind.
Well, go through it. Only you can't blame me for wanting to know one thing.
Yeah?
There's nothing in this for you, just why are you doing it?
I don't know. Maybe I can't help liking some people.
Well, I'll push things at the bank and try having the 6,000 pounds for you this afternoon.
One thing, though, Jordan, the police must be informed of this.
You think they'll deliver the stuff with the police around?
The police need not appear until the merchandise is in our hands. Then they can give it safe escort to Mrs. Sheldon's boat.
Okay, it's your money.
And Jordan, I'll be close around, too. And if it turns out that you're working a deal, I'll never forget.
Right away, we set it up with Sam Sabaya and the Cairo police to move in after the cargo was delivered to me and escorted safely to the boat and out of Egypt. Well, Sheldon's loan went through. She put the 6,000 pounds in my hands. Soon after that, I got a phone call from the guy who had the cargo, and we arranged a rendezvous. That set the stage. I knew that within the next 2 or 3 hours, somehow, I'd have a few answers to the mysterious caravan raid. But I needed some props. First, I stopped off at the 5 and 10, picked up a few things, and I went alone across the Nile to where the camel trail comes down to the river. At the appointed hour, the camels began to show up one by one. I paid off a share to each driver, who quickly vanished. Finally, all 24 loaded camels were delivered. Then I made my next move, and a short time later, I signaled Sam Sabaya. He moved quickly with his men.
We will take over now, Gordon.
The caravan's all yours, Sam. My job's done.
Oh, one moment. Were there not 24 camels?
23.
20? That's a mistake in my figures.
No, we all make mistakes.
Ah, indeed we do. Would you like to clear up one of your mistakes at this time, Jordan?
What do you mean?
After you left my office this morning, 3 pages were missing from the truckle's dossier. Well, Jordan.
All right, you got me, Tim. Here they are.
Thank you. I trust that you found them good reading.
I didn't learn much.
Jordan, I fear there are things that you will never learn. For example, when to leave well enough alone.
A short while later, I was at Sheldon's boat as the caravan slowly pulled onto the docks. Sheldon, Sam, and I watched from the deck as the last of the gum Arabic was taken off the camels and loaded onto the ship's hold.
Well, there it is, finally.
Yes, Mrs. Sheldon. And rest assured that we will continue in our efforts to find the raiders.
Small chance. But thanks for everything, Captain.
I will leave a detail of men on board for your protection until you clear Alexandria. And the best of luck, Mrs. Sheldon.
Goodbye, Captain.
Oh, coming, Jordan?
Not just yet, Sam. I'll see you in a minute.
As you wish.
Well, Rocky, it looks like I owe you some sort of apology.
I don't think so.
I'll admit I didn't trust you very much.
Nobody expected you to. Anyhow, you still have 6,000 pounds.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I wish you could come along, though. You'd enjoy the trip.
Yeah. Wish I could, too.
A moment there, Jordan.
You want to see me, Hakkar?
Indeed, I do. There were 24 camel loads to be delivered.
All right, what about it?
Only 23 arrived here.
That's all that showed up?
Then where is the other camel?
How should I know? 23, 24, what's the difference?
The difference, you say? An entire load of gum arabic.
So they held out on you. Go hunt it up if it means so much.
Mr. Jordan, I demand an explanation.
Oh, let it go, Hakkar. We're lucky to get any of it back.
But Jordan paid for all the camel loads yet. We will not be cheated out of one.
Forget about it. We're not going to wait around any longer. We've got to get this load to Marseille.
You mean to say you're going to let him get away?
Forget about it. I'm giving word to shove off before anything more happens. I'll look you up when I get back, Rocky.
Jordan, a moment. Before you go down the gangplank.
I'm so excited about it, huh?
Excited? You're quite mistaken.
I don't think so.
I am certain that you know where the other camel load is, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah? What's there about the load that bothers you so much?
Why, the gum arabic, of course.
You know, I don't think gum arabic interests you at all.
What do you mean?
I think it's something else. These, maybe.
Here, let me see.
Sure, have a look.
Diamonds.
I don't touch.
Where did you get them, Jordan?
From inside the gum arabic on the 24th camel.
You will give them to me.
Why, Hakkar? Are they yours? Did you hide them there?
Jordan, now listen to me.
You masterminded quite a deal, didn't you? Only better when raid, the deal with me to return the stuff so you could get a private police escort for your smuggled jewels right out of Egypt.
There is no time to talk.
Even killed your Confederate trucker so he wouldn't start talking. Did Sheldon know about this?
Quickly, before she returns.
Yeah, I knew she didn't.
Jordan, you're a smart man. I'll cut you in. I'll make a deal.
Oh, the other way around, Hakkar. I got the jewels.
All right, anything you say.
First, you fork over Sheldon's 6,000 pounds. Then these diamonds go to the police.
I will have them, Jordan.
Hakkar lunged at me and all at once he was a wild man, fighting and clawing, dead bag in my hand. My fist drove him away, but he was in again, pushing me to the rail. The next time I drove him back, his hand went for an inside pocket. That's when I got tired of the game. I moved in ahead of a gun, and his shot went wild. I locked his head in my arm, whirled, tossed him over my shoulder and over the rail. I waited for a splash that didn't come, and I saw why. When I looked down, it was into the upturned, surprised face of Captain Sam Sabaya. Fez over one eye and what was left of an Egyptian cigarette dangling in his mouth. Lying at his feet where he'd hit the dock was the crumbled body of Hakkar. Well, the pieces finally fell into place. Trakas and Hakkar had been a smuggling job together. Their problem was to get the loot off the continent without full interference. So they engineered the phony Bedouin raid. When the caravan was in their hands, they hid the diamonds inside one of the loads of gum arabic. Then they returned it with the promise of a police escort all the way out of Egypt. It was real clever. And it might have worked, except that I got onto it when I read the papers from the Trakas dossier, found out what Sam's means meant. But Trakas was best known as a jewel smuggler. The fact that Trakas was last seen in Lekuana land meant just one thing: diamonds. Well, after Sam had put Hakkar away, he joined me at my tambourine for coffee.
Jordan, I still fail to understand what you see in Mrs. Sheldon.
Well, it's all a matter of taste, Sam. For instance, you make sweet syrup out of your coffee. Not me.
Jordan, will you pass the sugar for me?
Sure.
You realize, Jordan, that I had instructed my men to thoroughly search the gum arabic on Sheldon's boat before he cleared Alexandria.
Oh, I didn't know, sir.
As I expected, the diamonds were all counterfeit. They fortunately were not on the Cindy Hole camel.
Well, I took that chance. I knew that holding out one camel would make the real smuggler show his hand. Sure glad it was her car instead of Sheldon.
One more thing. About the diamonds.
You mean the ones I had?
Hmm. I should like to see them.
Jordan,
these are nothing but rhinestones. Practically worthless.
That's right. I picked them up at the 5 and 10.
Rocky Jordan is a weekly presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.